All right, so we're live. This is Kyle, Midnight with Robert Shaw. I got Richard on bass.
Hi.
And we're here to talk about our top 10 of the year, top 20 or top whatever you got. I don't know. How many do you have, Richard?
I think I got 10. I'm kind of whittling them down as we speak.
All right, well, I'll start. I'll go through my, before I get to my 10, I'll go through a few, I guess I'd call them honorable mentions. Even though I really did like all these movies, so it's not, it's a little definitely hard for me to make a real top 10. But anyway, so I got Captain America 2. Really enjoyed that one. Good movie.
So is this your top 10, your top whatever?
Yeah, top like before I get to my 10. So there's just a few honorable
mentions. Oh, okay. Well, then I'm going to put that on my list too. I agree with you.
Gone Girl I have as an honorable mention.
Wow, not making the list, huh?
You know, I liked it, but I feel like Fincher has such a cold efficiency that it didn't feel like it was so out of his wheelhouse that I should still be impressed anymore.
Yeah, but NPH gets his throat slit in the nude.
He has dick cut off, maybe, but I don't know. Throat slit, nah. Been there, done that.
If only Fincher did What's in the Dick in the Box.
Well, then you'd have some money.
Then it would have been a $500 million hit.
I got Fury up there. That was a good one.
Oh, shit. I forgot about Fury.
That was really good. Yeah.
I should put that in the top 10 just to be clever. You know what? I'll make that number 10. Goodbye, Captain America 2.
And then I got Only Lovers Left Alive. I like that one a lot.
I'm going to mention that. I'm not going to put that on my list.
No. Yeah. It's on my honorable mentions. Yeah. It's
two up its own ass.
I liked Hiddleston and I liked that alien, but.
David Bowie's love child with the devil, Tilda Swinton?
Yeah, I liked her a lot. I don't think they had good chemistry. I liked the atmosphere and the tone, but there's no story, so don't look for any story if you see that.
Well, no, it's Jim Jarmusch, and yeah. Jarmusch is like, I love Jack White and hipster music and science and like Mark Twain. Everybody else sucks and they're zombies.
And I liked A Most Wanted Man. That was a good movie.
The hell is that?
The last Philip Seymour Hoffman movie.
Oh, that's right. I didn't see that.
But it's really only good for him. I mean, the rest of the movie is kind of a wash.
We're going to find you, and we're going to put a hood over your head and rendition you. Philip Seymour Hoffman in this movie.
But his really the best part though is when he says "fuck." Like he says that a few times.
Fuck.
And he just screams it so loud. It's so good.
Fuck.
But no, it's worth seeing for him, but otherwise, it's a movie you could definitely skip.
Right.
And Edge of Tomorrow is also on my honorable mentions.
Yeah, I would say that's honorable. I think there's just too many other movies that could push that off the list for me, so I enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow, but it's got to have to leave the list.
Yeah, I certainly won't badmouth the ending. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but that didn't bother me at all. It's a Hollywood movie. It's going to have a Hollywood ending. What do you expect?
You know what? It loses points for Tom Cruise.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he wasn't in it, it would have been a bigger hit.
That's true.
I mean, if you had, like, Chris Pratt in it, like, say, next year, like 2015.
So remake Edge of Tomorrow for next year with
right.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Good plan. Are you running Sony?
I'd be running it into the ground is what I'd do.
No, I think you'd do a lot better job than what they're doing right now.
I don't know. I don't think I'm racist enough to be said ahead of Sony.
This is true. I could run Sony.
Yes, you would do a fine job.
My bigoted self, my homophobic slurs. Except it wouldn't be in private confidential emails. It would be on like billboards.
Oh sure, yeah. Now,
hey fag, check this out.
Do you have anything for your honorable mentions or?
I think a Lego Movie is honorable mention. It won't be on my list.
Oh, it's high up on my list. Get ready.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm just saying it's not that high on my list. Captain America, you know, I keep wanting to put on the list, but I think I just want to keep one Marvel movie on there.
Yeah, I'll admit Guardians on my list, so I'm going to leave it off.
Yeah, I would say Galaxy definitely is on my list. And then Edge of Tomorrow, Only Lovers Left to Love. X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, right. I forgot about that one. Good movie. Didn't love it. It was good.
Yeah, I would put that on an honorable mention. And Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is another good one.
Right, yeah.
That won't make the list.
I liked it. Didn't love it. Wasn't as good as the first one for me, so.
Oh, I disagree. I think it was better than the first one, but. Because no Jimmy Franco.
I love my Franco.
I can't. He gets the more and more exposure he gets, the less and less I like him.
No, that's definitely true. Also, I like Frito-Lay's or whatever.
Frito-Lay's Pinto.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see the new Taco Bell creation?
No.
Speaking of Fritos, it's a dollar crunch wrap.
Right, okay.
It's got Frito chips and beef and chicken and cheddar cheese.
Gosh, America needs to just die.
Oh, don't worry. This will kill them.
I mean, I get why Europe hates us. We're just the worst.
Oh, Europe sucks. They're all a bunch of Nazis, for God's sakes. Nationalist socialists. Europe sucks. They're going to collapse in about 10 years, so shut up.
All right, I'll shut up.
Shut up, Europe. No, I'm talking to Europe.
Oh, I see. So do you want to open with a number 10, or do you want me to open? Or?
Oh, sure. I don't know what my number 10 is. I want to say, you know, okay, I got it. Fury. That's my number 10.
Oh, that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
I think nobody's giving it any love anymore. There's a lot of great moments in it. There's a lot of great performances. The ending is a bit retarded, but I enjoyed it because it's like a Last Stand movie. It had like Sam Peckinpah elements in there. I think coming from David Ayer, is that his name?
Yeah, I mean, from the guy who did that Arnold movie earlier this year.
If you go from Sabotage to Fury, you're fucking brilliant.
Yeah, you've got like a weird manic head case going on up there.
You're insane. And the attention to detail is really not. I mean, it's very authentic. And you can see the love that he had for this movie. So I really enjoyed it. And I think it deserves to be number 10 over Captain America.
Yeah, and you don't see very many tank movies.
No?
Even you know, several decades ago, you didn't see many. And so to see one now, especially one that is so good, I think is rarefied air for sure.
So I would count Kelly's Heroes as a tank movie. Would you put that in your list?
Not in my top 10 for 2014.
No, I understand that.
But yeah, it's
but
a tank
in your top
movie.
10
yeah.
tank movies of
it's
all
definitely
time.
A tank movie.
I think Kelly's Heroes might be number one.
But could you really come up with 10 tank movies?
Fury.
Good. That's one.
Tank Girl.
Doesn't count. No. No.
Tank Girl. Indiana Jones Last Crusade.
No.
There's a tank in it.
But I think it's got to be about tanks, not just like there's a scene with a tank.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. That's fair. So you got two of them.
Patton was part of the tank division, right?
I'll give you that one.
Patton kind of is a tanky movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So there you go. Kelly's Heroes and Patton.
All right, so we got three of them.
That's the trilogy. Box that set, Amoeba, and sell it for overpriced money.
So they'll sell it for like $100?
$60. Yeah. Well, no, don't go crazy. They'll sell it for $45. But it'll be Blu-ray at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's got to be at least $60.
At least.
20 each, so you gotta have that.
With like a sticker that says Amoeba Staff Recommends.
Right, yeah.
And that horrible, like, cellophane wrap that they put on it.
It makes everything look so cheap.
It does.
It's like, oh gosh, why?
And how many gross, dirty fucking fingers have touched the cover of all those DVDs? You ever think about that? Don't eat after you go to Amoeba.
That's why I order everything online.
Yes, you will get an amoeba growing in you.
I don't want to shop there.
No, God, no.
I feel dirty every time I leave.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, no thanks.
I think, when I come back to LA, I'm just going to be a hermit and not deal with anybody.
That's probably smart. It's a good choice.
I'm going to wear gloves, white gloves, wherever I go. A mask, like a gas mask from World War II.
I like that. That's good.
That's good. I think that's good.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that.
What's your number 10?
My number 10 is The Drop.
Oh, James Gandolfini's last movie.
Yeah, and Tom Hardy doing something not very Tom Hardy, which I liked.
I did want to see that, but I did not see that movie.
Definitely worth renting. I enjoyed it seeing it in theaters as well. It was not your typical big screen movie, but it's one of those kind of films you want to get a drop on early.
Get it?
He's a pun there.
Get it?
Tom Hardy, I thought, was doing something that was really internal and that I liked quite a bit.
You could say James Gandolfini dropped dead to be in this movie.
He did. Yeah, and Gandolfini's kind of playing a little more of his typical character. That's something, nothing you haven't really seen from him before, but it was, or yeah, but it was still good. Still a good movie.
He's doing his Tony Soprano voice.
Yeah, it kind of feels like if, you know, Tony Soprano light, I guess.
Oh, okay. Kind
of like that, so. Nothing too out of his wheelhouse for him, but, you know, he never lose faith in his performance, so.
Is it like his performance from the last one he did with Brad Pitt?
No, Killing Them Softly? To me, that one felt really angry, like that performance. It's like really mean, and like life fucked this guy over, and like he is just pissed. This one feels like kind of a sad sack who's trying like one last time to make it big.
And
a real, he's like super desperate, and you know, you almost feel sorry for that character. But
right.
But it's really Tom Hardy's movie, and he does a great job.
And then Noomi Rapace is in that one too, huh?
Yeah.
Good old Noomi.
Yeah, she's kind of like your typical damsel in distress. There isn't as much for her character to do, but she's still better in this than she is in something like Prometheus. So.
Or Dead Man Down.
Gosh, yeah, I saw part of that. I couldn't keep watching it. It was so bad. It's like, I don't like, how does Colin Farrell keep picking these awful movies? Like, does he hate working? Is he just like, I don't want to keep working, so I gotta like really hate Hollywood?
I think that's his mindset. He hates working.
It's like, because he was working a lot, and he's doing a lot of drugs. Now he's not doing any drugs.
Yeah,
he's not working so much.
Sounds about right.
Just odd. That what a weird dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what's I like this one a lot. I forget. I think the guy who did Bullhead did this one.
That's right. It is Bullhead guy. I was trying to figure out who did, because isn't that guy in it as well?
Yeah, Mateus, however you say his last name. I don't even know.
Yeah, I like that guy a lot. I hope he does way more.
Yeah, it was definitely a small part for him in this. So,
because the guy speaks English like he's a fucking local.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, if you didn't know he was foreign in this movie, you wouldn't have any clue. I mean,
no, he's great. At all. I love that guy.
Because you like see his last name and you think he's one of like this mafia group,
yeah.
Because they have accents or whatever, and it's like, but it's like no, he's one of the Bostonian guys or New York guys or whatever, and it's like,
yeah.
I mean, he blends it right in, and he was definitely pretty evil in this movie and very threatening.
Which he's good. A bad guy. It's even better.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he needs to be a Bond villain. Get him in there.
I think he'd be a great Bond villain. I mean, I think, because I know they're talking about Idris Elba being Bond, but my one problem with him is that he's just too old. But
yeah.
But I think he'd make a great Bond villain, Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I just think he's too old to be a Bond himself.
You're just an ageism. You're an ageist, not a racist.
I am, but I remember it was something like, it was like Roger Moore was like almost the same age as Connery when Connery retired.
Yeah.
So it's like, why did they even get that guy? That was so
Roger Moore in A View to a Kill is the reason I hate old people.
Why you what?
Why I hate old people.
Well,
View to a Kill.
I remember he said he didn't really understand why they kept wanting him back, but he wasn't going to say no. Because it's like, you're getting paid all this money.
Well, did you watch that Bond documentary that's on Netflix?
No, I still haven't seen it. I always keep passing it.
Interesting. It's pretty good.
Is it like really insider and like trashist people, or is it really nice?
It's pretty honest.
Okay, all right, that's cool.
It's good. It's good.
All right.
They talk about Ian Fleming and how he's just a boozer, and like he died before seeing Bond really kind of. Well, I mean, he died after Goldfinger, and like right after Goldfinger, so he didn't get to see Bond blow up so much, but he kind of got to see the success.
Well, he was living on some estate in Jamaica, so I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, that was Skyfall, wasn't it? Or GoldenEye.
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye was his Jamaican retreat where he had to deal with the colored folk.
Right.
Because he was
a racist. His terminology was much worse, but yes. It was...
They don't do anything. They just sit there, smoke their joints. I thought I smoked my cigarettes.
Yeah, he was pretty elitist, to say the least. So, yeah, he loved Britain.
Yes.
So, what's your number nine?
I'm going to go Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, wow, yeah, I got mine. That's a lot higher for me, so.
Well,
I don't even know why, to be honest, but it just is. I don't know.
I don't think there's no rhyme or reason to the numbering. I enjoyed it, but at the same time, if this movie didn't have any of the music, I think it would have been a failure. It's very much... Thank you, Homer. It's very much a... This movie shouldn't work at all. Like, honestly. I don't know. By the grace of God, it made so much money. And it works. But it really shouldn't. Like, on paper, this should be a horrible failure.
Right. No, but I think the soundtrack helps, though. I think that... You can attribute that to James Gunn, and if he's the director, and...
Well, yeah.
You know, I think... You know, soundtrack definitely helps, but I think it comes from the creative source of the film, so...
Yeah, it's the tone. The tone of the movie.
It's light. I'll give it to the movie.
But again, I space opera, the key to space opera is the score.
Oh, no, yeah, Star Wars, it gives it a real emotional hook.
Well, yeah, I mean, Star Wars, it's the music. Without the music, it doesn't work. Guardians of the Galaxy, without the music, it doesn't work.
No, because it really ties together with that initial opening that
he's
a kid, and it's like,
yeah.
And if you don't have that music, you don't feel that connection with the mom, and then the stuff at the end just wouldn't work. And
no, and it'd just be stupid.
You couldn't have the dance off without the music, and
no,
and things like that just wouldn't fit. So
yeah. There's so many things in that movie that if they did it a little differently, it just would not work. Like, no, it's on a thin line.
I think James Gunn was what saved that movie.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I mean, I'll give credit to that woman who found the idea initially, that Nicole...
He rewrote her entire script.
Well, I'm saying, it's fair that she picked it out, but he took it from a seed that she planted to, like, this whole, you know, tree.
She took the baby Groot and he made it Groot.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, not to take anything away from her, but he really took it to a whole other level.
Well, the way I see it, you're saying chicks don't know how to write.
Well, they're not thinking about adding a soundtrack, because I guess that wasn't in there before, so...
No, that's all gone for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think he had the right approach. He knew, like, you know what, this is Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy, it's got to be funny, and it's got to be... light, because if you go too dark with it, because some of that shit's pretty dark, the Ronin stuff.
It is.
It's very odd, because I remember watching the movie the first time I saw it, and they do like the whole like Ronin ship in space. They come in tight, and he's coming out of like the bath,
right?
You know, nude. I'm just like, this shit is so sci-fi hardcore. Who the fuck's gonna get this shit?
No, it is. It is tough, but. And it's so tonally all over the map at times, but he makes it work.
Yeah.
And that's something that is impressive because, I just think it's a hard movie to kind of fit in at times. Because, it's really dark, and then it's really light and humorous. And
yeah.
And I think at times the plot is a little too, MacGuffin-centric.
Right.
If that makes sense, where it's like, take the ball from this place to this place, and then it'll go here. And it's like, okay.
Somebody wrote a big article about how this was a plotless movie.
I read that.
And from kind of a certain point of view, it's not wrong, but it's still kind of rude. I felt like it was a very snobby article.
I'd agree. Yeah,
it's still a good movie, and it's entertainment. It's not, because they want it to be art. And they're not Jodorowsky, I'm sorry. Jodorowsky, because I just watched Jodorowsky's Dune, how everything, every movie should inspire, the masses to do something. Movies don't do that.
Movies are entertainment. They inspire them to go buy toys. That's what they inspire people to do.
Yeah, movies are entertainment. We'll forget about them a decade after we see them.
Right, agreed. Less than that.
Come on. Well, I mean, in this day and age, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, aside from 12 Years a Slave, I couldn't tell you what won any Academy Awards last year.
Exactly.
I don't remember.
Who? 12 Years of what?
I know, right? It's called Selma this year, so
you can have yeah, that was good, huh?
That's up there. So I'll wait to kind of harp on that one too much.
What is your ninth movie?
Inherent Vice.
Oh, I didn't see it.
What are you eating?
Trail mix.
How is it?
Delightful.
Does it have M&Ms?
It does.
Those are good ones. I like those ones, yeah.
Yeah, the good old Kirkland brand.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, take me away, Costco.
So Inherent Vice, though, I liked it a lot. This is one that does have no plot. I couldn't tell you what happened in this movie. But despite that, I think it's got a lot of great character, a lot of good energy. It's really well shot from a nerd point of view, really from an esoteric standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think it's Robert Elwes did the cinematography.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say his name.
He's good.
Yeah, he also did Nightcrawler. So two different very LA movies, but
yeah,
very different. But I liked it a lot. There's a lot of interesting characters. It's a movie that definitely isn't concerned with plot. It's more about culture and setting a vibe and having fun. And I think it does that in spades. It's a great time to watch and have fun, a lot of just have fun. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, no, it's
I had
good.
A blast.
How long is it? Is it a longer one like his other movies, or is it short?
It does feel long. I think that's one of my complaints that kind of keeps it from being higher is that, you know, at some points it really drags.
Oh.
And it has about like 5 or 6 different endings.
Oh, wow.
We're just kind of like ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
But it definitely lives within its own bubble. So it's got like a microscope on this time period, and it blows it up to like be even bigger and cartoonier than it really is.
Yeah.
But I liked, what's his name? Joaquin Phoenix a lot. And there's some girl in it everybody talks about being great, and I don't know. She didn't do a lot for me, but she does have one long scene where she's naked in most of it. I think that's what people dig.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to see this movie now.
Yeah, it's full frontal nudity.
Are you choking on Kirkland trail mix?
Yeah, some sunflower seeds. I got those stuck in my throat. So, that and some raisins.
Fantastic. You're going to poo nicely tonight.
I will, yeah. This isn't, for me, as good as The Master, but I did still enjoy it quite a bit.
Well, The Master's, I don't know, I feel like every Paul Thomas Anderson movie after There Will Be Blood, you have to watch it a couple of times before you start to be like, okay, I like this movie.
Right, like Inherent Vice is one I would like to see again. I mean, I don't think it would get much higher for me on my list.
Yeah.
But it's still one that requires, I think you're right, a second viewing just to kind of see more and get more of what's going on.
Right.
And I forgot, like, Benicio Del Toro was in it.
Of course.
And he was someone I thought was actually kind of neutered in this movie. He wasn't as flamboyant as he has been.
He was nude, too, huh?
Yeah, nude and neutered.
Fantastic. Yeah. Was he playing the... Did he have his collector hair?
No, he was a lawyer, though, which he's obviously played before. But this one wasn't quite as exciting.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little more typical. I did like Belladonna, though. She was in it briefly.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. She didn't have a giant bowling pin up her butt.
No, which is why I didn't recognize her. Also, I think she goes by her real name in this one, not her stage name.
Of course. And for those who don't know who Belladonna is, she is a very, 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 very dirty, dirty, dirty porn star.
Yeah. She's great, though. She's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's good people.
Yeah, I forget like how many movies she's quote unquote directed.
About 5 million.
Yeah, I want to say it's like 60 or something. It was like,
and actually, one of them's on my top 10.
It was ungodly. I was like, what the hell?
Yes.
Stop.
Pretty bad.
So, what's your number 8? I guess.
Snowpiercer.
Oh, okay, that's a little higher for me, but yeah, pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah, no, well, it's because I watched it again recently, and I was just like, okay, yeah, I like it. It's good. Colorful.
So it's a little less for you on a second viewing?
A little bit, I think.
Oh,
because,
okay. All right, I can see that, okay.
Well, I mean, no, I don't know. It's not that I didn't enjoy it any less.
Yeah.
But the surprise element is gone.
Sure.
Rewatching it, the jokes just don't hit the same again. I don't know. It doesn't hold up a second time as well as the first time, which is why I think with these top 10 lists every year, critics, they watch a movie and it's all based on the one viewing. I don't think you can judge a movie on one viewing. You need to do it at least 3 or 4 times before you can really say this movie's better than this movie or blah, 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 blah.
Sheesh. Okay, fine.
But it's fine. It's fine. That's why, like, usually my top 10 lists, most of the movies I've only seen once and I never watch again.
No, yeah, and there's definitely some on my top 10 I'll watch again, some I have. But I'll admit, there's a few I probably won't see again.
Like, have you ever watched Holy Motors again?
No, but that was a damn good movie, though.
Exactly, but you'll never watch it again.
Yeah, that's true.
But you like, there's that one, though, no right? reason. I did, too. I liked it. I thought it was great. But I'll never watch it again. Rust and Bone. Really liked it. Probably will never watch it again.
No, that was a hard year for me to pick a number one, though. That was not easy.
Yeah. I mean, Bullhead. Great movie. I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
You know, I have looked for it on Blu-ray, but it's always too pricey. I just don't want to spend, like, $30 on it.
Yeah, for sure. Headhunters. Great movie. Never will watch it again.
I was thinking about watching that once, again. After
once was enough. Game,
like, I was like, oh, man, I should watch this again. This is a good movie.
Yeah. Okay, what's your number 8? I'm sorry.
Blue Ruin. Blue Ruin.
Blue Ruin's a little bit higher on my list.
Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, no, I dug it a lot. It was, I like its simplicity. I thought the title was a little too on the nose for me.
Well, because it was the car?
Well, like, everything in the movie's blue. There's, like, so much blue. It's like, oh, so, God.
Well, it's like Michael Mann's student film. That's what it is. It should have been called Michael Mann.
And his next one's called The Green Room, so it's like, ugh, is everything going to be green in that one?
Oh, what else has this guy done? Nothing.
Crap I've never heard of.
So yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. I like the main actor. I thought he was good. I don't know his name.
Yeah, he's good.
I thought it got a little predictable, but I still liked it.
I don't know. I mean, the predictability, I don't... And the revenge movies, I mean, they're always going to end the same way.
Well, it's not the ending, but it was like...
The events that
I don't want to, like, spoil it, to be honest, because it is on Netflix Instant, so it's easy to watch. But just the whole like backstory, I guess, when it kind of, like, got revealed.
What was the backstory?
With, like,
the dad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, it was like, okay, you know, not. I don't know. It almost felt too, like, forgiving of all the characters. Like, oh.
I don't know if it's forgiving. He kills the whole family.
No, but just like...
It was like, he literally kills the entire family.
Because it was like, oh, well, maybe they didn't really do it or whatever. And it's like, oh, poor them, because they're so... Because it's like...
I never felt that. I thought they were scumbag trash. They needed to be taken out.
Oh, I could care less. But I feel like that's kind of what they're going for, was like...
Oh, no, I don't... Really?
Like some kind of, like, moral gray area. And I was like, I don't want that.
No,
I don't want to die.
No, I thought it was like total... No moral gray. These were awful people. And, like, the guy is... Yeah. Well, the kid lives. I mean, right. And he's the offspring of that love affair.
Right.
And he walks away and he sort of realizes, you know, his family was fucked up to begin with. But a part of him is part of the other guy. So it's like, you know, the good side comes out. So it's right. It's more or less, it's a very, very low budget revenge movie that's... different in that it's not like a kung fu epic.
Yeah, and I did also like that the guy, the main character, is not, you know, he's not like Charles Bronson.
Right.
You know,
he's kind of a putz.
Yeah, he has real trouble. Also, there's one line I particularly liked where he's talking with his sister and he says something like, I rarely speak to people at all. And I was like, wow, like, you know, I like that because it's a little on the nose, but I like that he's kind of explaining who he is, sort of, in, like, a brief statement. Like,
yeah.
It's a little direct, but it works because it's like, you know, you want to learn about this character, but you're going to get about 2 lines interspersed throughout the whole movie. So.
And I love the way he stabbed that guy in the head.
Right, like that. That again goes to him being just sort of like you said, a putz in terms of how to do all this. Like, well, he's very clueless.
I thought it was going to be more of a comedy, like it was sort of this goofy. Oh, really? Huh. Well, because the way I read it about it was like people were saying it's a different kind of revenge movie. It's more of a he's a bumbler, and I thought it was going to be more of a dark comedy, but it's not really funny at all. It's just it's about him basically killing this entire family because they won't let him go. So it's like he has to take it upon himself to finish this job.
Right, right.
Because they're not going to let it go. They'll hold this grudge forever and kill his sister and her kids, and he's not going to let that happen.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I enjoyed it a lot, though. It was one I hadn't really heard much about, but it was good.
Yeah. What's your number 7?
Wait, did you have number 7? Or?
Oh, I know. I mean, I just told you my number 8. What's your number 8?
No, it says Blue Ruin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So number 7, me.
Yeah, you.
Imitation Game.
Okay, this is not on my list at all.
Really?
I didn't hate it. I mean, maybe it should be an honorable mention, but yeah, I did not care for it.
Well, okay. Granted, it's what I liked about it was the humor. It's funny.
I didn't find it that funny. No.
The Charles dance scene where he first meets Alan Tuning, I really liked that scene a lot, and there was a lot of play back and forth with the script. There's a lot of running gags that have like it's a full circle skit kind of in a way because all these jokes are set up and the punchlines at the end. It was a nice scene that really showed off this character.
He's kind of an asshole. It all felt like
it worked for me.
The whole movie felt like he was just playing Sherlock, but more nebbish.
Well, he was.
And it was like, I've seen this. I've seen this like. He's played this character like 6 or 7 times. And it's like, he's not doing anything different for me.
Well, history came alive for me.
Also, I hated that stupid line they kept saying. It was like,
the imagine line.
It's like, oh, go screw. Just shut up.
Oh, I think that was completely fiction. Well, I don't think Christopher existed.
It was so contrived. I was just like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, I don't believe that one of the people on the team. Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't Wikipedia it. I don't believe one of the people on the team had a brother in the war that died because they didn't act on the code that they broke. I don't know if there was a guy that was a Soviet spy.
That was
like true. There's a lot of goofy stuff.
That was true.
Was that true?
Yeah.
But was it true that the kid had a brother that was in one of the
that I didn't look boats up, that could have saved? The guy who was a Soviet spy, he was a Soviet spy.
Okay, but did Alan Tuning know? I doubt it.
That I don't know. I didn't get that far into it.
That's all dramatic. That's all dramatic. Oh, because he knew his secret. Yeah, he knew his secret. Then he knew his secret and blah 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 blah.
No, I didn't.
I liked Mark Strong. I thought Mark Strong did a good job.
But again, he played a really funny character. Like, he's played that character before.
I don't care.
Like, for me, they were all coasting. It was like nothing felt new for these actors.
I thought it was a very well done HBO movie. I like HBO movies.
No, that's strong. I could definitely compare it to that. Yeah, for sure.
It's a very cable movie.
Also, I thought, how do you not know that kid has bovine tuberculosis? Like, what the hell? Is this guy like... He'd be coughing up a lung if he had bovine tuberculosis.
I did not know him, sir. I did not know that, sir. I wasn't very close to him, sir.
That was so full of shit. I also didn't care for all the back and forth. Like, it opened with him confessing to whatever his name was. James Bond.
Well, guy. You know, I liked that. I thought that was a good scene. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And just the one thing I didn't like was they didn't really, for a homosexual to write this movie, you wouldn't think a homosexual wrote this movie.
No, you wouldn't.
Because they whitewash his gay so bad.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like Milk.
No, I mean, he doesn't even have a boyfriend during the movie at all. Never.
No. Never. No, never. No. I mean, you never see anybody come and touch his pee-pee.
No, he only mentions it. It's only through telling, not necessarily showing that you get the sense that he's gay.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you never really... have that feeling that, I mean, he doesn't even come across as really that gay to me in the movie. I mean,
right.
He's a little effeminate.
Well, and also,
like, big deal. Like, I didn't get a gay vibe off of it.
Shit, I can be effeminate if I wanted to.
No, sure. That's what I didn't get. It's like, and they barely touch upon his castration. It's like he mentioned.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was going to get at. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, this is one of the most horrific laws that ever happened in the history of London, in English history. They show a part where he's shaky. He pulls a Michael J. Fox,
right,
and then that's it. And like, we're supposed to be like, oh my god, he's being destroyed. He can't think. He can't do a crossword puzzle.
Right, to me, it was
he
like,
can't do the jumble. He can't do the jumble anymore. God damn you, London.
It was like he had the flu. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. Like, it's like, sorry.
That was the one thing I didn't like. It was like, you know what? If you're going to go, like, push this as Oscar bait, I want to see him, like, puking blood, like, dying. We're seeing him die. And well, he takes the apple with cyanide, and it's a hard choice, but he takes it. Like, right, we don't see any of that.
I wanted to see him choose to take the chemical castration.
Right,
you never see that choice.
It's all off screen.
It's like, I did it.
All the
it's
heavy like, oh, stuff is off screen.
Yeah, it's like, they really had just one scene of him post-castration. That's it.
Right, yeah. No, it's very whitewashed. Very whitewashed.
Yeah, it's like, that to me made no sense. I mean, that injustice is as important to his life as that machine.
That, to me, is the whole point of the movie.
Right, it's like, I don't get that at all.
You know what? It's off my list.
It just didn't make any sense to me.
No, it's still on my list. It's fine.
No, I get it. Yeah, but
what's your number seven then?
Babadook.
Babadook. Wow, that's really high.
You mean low or
low enough?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Like I said, it's hard for me to say it's like official top 10 numbers. Just kind
the
of
the Babadook did it, Mama.
Because when you hear where Lego is, you'll groan. You'll groan.
Oh, God. Is it number two? Idiot.
I am an idiot, but it's...
Oh, God. It's not number one, is it?
No, no.
Okay.
No. But I like this movie a lot. I'll let you talk about it a little more when we get to it.
That's fine.
But it was definitely my kind of horror movie. It put character first, scare second, and I think it was all the better for it.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's your number? Are you on seven for you or six?
Six, Blue Ruin. We already talked about that.
Okay, all right, cool. Yeah.
What's your number six?
I got Snowpiercer. I feel like we'd be
talking about that. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Number five.
Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Interstellar.
Ah, boy. Not on my list.
I liked Interstellar. I thought it had a lot of heart. I thought it had a lot of good spectacle. I liked Matthew McConaughey. I didn't like Anne Hathaway. The only problem I had was the ending with Anne Hathaway, like... Matthew McConaughey has to go fuck Anne Hathaway at the end out of nowhere. So that was stupid.
Yeah, that whole bit felt really unearned to me.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, hey, we need a love story. Okay, great.
Right.
Like, oh, why?
I would have been much happier if he was just like, okay, Tars, let's go explore the universe because I got no one in my life. And it's just him and Tars. And they go find the Prometheus ship.
And was her building like the farm again some kind of joke? Because it felt like a sick joke to me. I didn't understand that at all.
Which one?
Well, when they're on that like fancy ship at the end, and like they rebuilt the farm for him.
Oh right. Well, no, they didn't rebuild it for him. It was like a museum.
I guess. That's
you know,
true.
She's
that's
the true. Most important fucking person in the history of the world.
That's true. Yeah, it's more of a museum. Fair point. Fair point.
There you go. Didn't even pay attention. You make me sick.
Fair enough.
But I enjoyed it. I think they had a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah.
Good old Nolan always makes a good spectacle. He overextends himself on emotion. But you know what? I understood what he was trying to do, and I like it. I'm glad he did. And you know what? No one else does that shit, so fuck him.
Yeah, I like parts of it. I definitely enjoyed some of it. What's
your number five?
Lego movie.
Oh, Christ. Okay, yeah. Everything is awesome. Next.
Fair enough. What's your number four?
Number four is Lego Movie. No, I'm kidding. Oh, you know what? I don't have a number four.
Oh, good.
That's what I was missing. I'm just going to pick one out of the air.
Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Nightcrawler.
Oh, that's fair, yeah. All right.
Yeah, shut up!
Oh, gosh, Richard.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So, yeah, okay. Nightcrawler.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal plays a psycho. Good LA movie. It's short, breezy, very taxi driver-esque with a hint of no redemption. Because at least Taxi Driver had redemption. This one has zero redemption. It's way darker than Taxi Driver.
Yeah, well, one thing I like about this movie was he never gets caught.
Like, yeah.
There's no punishment for what he does. He only gets rewarded.
Right.
For every action, no matter how evil it is, there's never any backlash. It's just like...
It's like Bad Lieutenant with Nick Cage.
Right. Yeah, to me, it's just... I mean, just the worst it gets for him is when Rene Russo yells at him. That's about as harsh as it ever gets.
And then she still fucks him and does everything he wants her to do.
Or does some weird shit. Yeah, I don't know what she's doing, but it ain't typical.
No, it's not.
I almost wanted them to like elaborate more. Like what exactly was he doing in there with her?
Yeah, that's a good one. He dressed her up as Riggs,
right? Probably
before. Yeah. Call me Merc Talk. And she wore a strapping.
I'm sure.
What's your number four?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
It's a good spot. I liked it because it's, there's so many dark superhero movies. I think Marvel's had their fair share of fun, but this, I think, was probably their most fun superhero movie.
For sure.
So, yeah, I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
So, I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your number three?
Number three, The Babadook.
Good choice. I can't disagree. So what'd you like about it?
Oh, just, you know what? Like you said, it was just character over horror. There was really good scares in it, but not like jump scares. It was character-driven scares. Like it was related to the transformation as opposed to scaring the audience. Yeah, so it wasn't cheap.
Yeah, every scare that had build-up.
Yeah.
So even though you were frightened... You almost knew it was coming, which I kind of liked because it was like, the movie almost felt challenged. Like it had to make sure you knew it was coming,
right?
And knowing that it didn't have that jump effect, so it had to really earn that scare. It couldn't just be hey, it's popping out of left field. Be afraid. It's like,
and really good performances from both of them. I mean, just
she was
really
fantastic.
Hardcore.
I don't know what she'll do next, but.
I hope more.
What?
I hope more.
Oh, no, yeah. I think, really, anyone who gets her now is smart. I mean, because she's only going to get bigger and bigger.
Well, and the best part of this movie that really, I think, really kind of helps everything is it's written and directed by a woman.
Yeah, I think that makes it feel more authentic.
Yeah, I mean, it's really well done. She did her homework. She takes all the greatest bits from other horror movies and plugs them into this story. And it's great. It works very well.
And I like that all the effects were done in camera. That was actually really cool. Yeah.
The Babadook.
Yeah, definitely a good movie. So number three for me, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay. That's my number two.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. Yeah.
So, you know, we're pretty close on that one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that quite a bit. One of Wes Anderson's better movies, really.
Yeah, he moves away more and more from his daddy issues to find different stories to tell, and
you think he has daddy issues?
A little bit, yeah. His movies are really in a genre unto themselves at this point, and yet he still has not overstayed his welcome with his style, I guess.
Wow.
What?
No, I'm just saying wow to you.
What about what though?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do you disagree with that or?
No, I just said wow.
Okay. Because, yeah, I think, like, with each movie, I think he's more and more confident in his style. And it feels... That's what I like about it, too, is, like, each movie he does, it's so definably his movie. Like, there are other directors you could watch, and you wouldn't necessarily recognize it as their movie. But he creates such a distinct style that you could never not recognize his film. It's just,
oh, for sure, yeah.
It's such a Wes Anderson movie.
Well, it's its own adjective now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or I think, verb. It's a Wes Anderson.
He's impossible. You've gone Wes not Anderson. To recognize. It's like,
yeah.
And I like that about him, that he really maintains his visual style and his techniques and his writing style and his acting styles that he kind of brings out of people, and it never gets boring, and I don't know, I always have fun with it. So I
mean, holy shit,
what,
this just breaking news here.
What?
HBO and IMAX have struck a deal to make Game of Thrones the first TV series to grace the big screen.
Well, I will definitely see that.
Exclusive season 5 trailer, as well as the final 2 episodes of the 4th season, will get a run on January 23rd to the 29th at 150 theaters.
Where are you reading this?
Variety.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. I don't think the final 2 episodes must be on when the show's on. The trailer must be running January
23rd to 29th.
Oh, cool. It's not specific. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my balls just dropped.
Finally, I was waiting.
Fantastic.
We'll celebrate.
Woo! Big old titties on the IMAX. Woo!
So Grand Budapest is your number 2.
Yeah, I don't have a number 1 because I didn't have a number 4. So.
Okay. Well, number 2 for me is Selma.
Oh, really? That high?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You know, I thought it was really strong, confident direction from this...
another chick.
From this girl, which I liked.
Yeah, and, no, good.
And I liked the story, because I think so many times you run into these biopics that don't know where to settle, and they're kind of all over the map. Like... I mean, I appreciated what Imitation Game did.
Right.
But I think I almost would have been more interested in his post-war stuff with the trial and him, you know, being prosecuted for being gay. Like that, I think,
right.
to me, is a story I would have preferred to see.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this, though, was a really strong choice. It definitely isn't a Martin Luther King biopic or bio story, because there's a lot of other characters in it, but you definitely get a good sense of who he was through this movie, which I liked. So it wasn't like they told this whole story from beginning to end or something like that. They really had a nice focus. I thought it was great writing, great performances across the board. You know, there wasn't one false note, I didn't feel like. I liked a lot of it. And there's also different perspectives, even within the... from the black community itself, from like Malcolm X to Martin Luther King to his wife to some
Oprah.
Of his followers. So I like that, you know, you got a good sense of time and place with these characters. So it wasn't as if everything was perfect and everything went really well for them, even internally. They all had problems. I think it was just a really well-told story. And it wasn't too long, and I think David Oyelowo definitely has a good shot to win an Oscar. So we'll see how that goes.
2 questions.
Yeah.
Did it have rap music?
Yeah, because I think there's a song that Common did. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, that's annoying. And 2, why is Oprah Winfrey in this movie?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned her, because I actually forgot. But she was someone, whenever she popped up, it took you out of the movie.
Yeah, no, that's,
every
she's awful.
Time.
Yeah.
And it was really just because she's Oprah.
Yeah.
It's like you watch her and you're like, you're not thinking, oh, it's this character. Because everyone else, really, I don't really know anyone in this movie. I mean, I know, like, Wendell Pierce from The Wire. You know, I kind of know who Common is, but, like, not really.
Common's in it, too?
He actually works better for me.
Eh.
Well, his part's brief, to be honest, as well, and also, I think he works well in the background, which he definitely is a part of. I mean, he's not like a main character.
Okay.
But Oprah, she was much worse for me, because whenever she popped up, it was just, it's Oprah.
Like, it was always, look under your seats, it's civil rights!
That's the best line of the night. That was good.
that's the end of Selma. Everybody in the theater, look under your seats. It's civil rights.
But yeah, every time she popped up, I was like, "Oh, it's Oprah." Like, oh
yeah, that's the thing. That's why I'm just like, I see the trailer, I'm just like, "Oh God, Oprah! No, no, don't put Oprah in this." And yeah. I don't. Is it because she'll bring in an audience? Is that why?
She wasn't in it enough, though, to bring in an audience.
Well, I mean, because women are going to be like, oh, Oprah's in it. We need to go see it. Because, you know, people buy... If Oprah sold shit in a shoebox, people would buy it.
You're not
wrong. Even though she doesn't have as much power as she used to.
I mean, so you could be right, but every time, though, it just took you out of
the movie. That bugs me. Like, put an unknown in that role. I'd much rather see, like, you know, a better unknown actress do it.
I don't know.
Because, like, across the board, like, that's what they got. There's, like, a lot of unknown people, and it worked.
Yeah.
So whenever she pops up, it was even worse.
Yeah, to see, that's the like problem.
You had, say, a lot of, like, up-and-coming actors you might recognize from TV.
I'm
doing it right now. It's fine. Then.
Yeah.
What is going on out there?
I don't know. Everyone's in here talking, and it's so annoying.
How do you get the
tickets?
Anyway.
I can't work like this, Richard. I can't.
That's awful. It's awful.
This is hard.
I'm like not even in the house, and it still happens this way. It's amazing.
So my number one movie?
Because
you don't have one, right? You don't have one, right?
No, not really.
Okay. My number one is Nightcrawler.
Oh, wow. That's really high.
It is. I was looking at the lists, but I was like, you know, I really liked it. It's I thought Jake Gyllenhaal gave a really different performance from what I've seen him do before.
Right.
And I like the script a lot.
I thought
the character felt really defined from the script.
Yeah.
I mean, because I have a hard time with that. You know how they say, like, oh, you can read a script and just reading the lines, you can tell who's speaking.
Right.
I'm not the best at that. But when I saw this movie, I knew that if I just was reading the script, I could tell when he was talking. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, so distinctive. That I really liked that a lot. And again, I think that the cinematography from Robert Elswit or whatever, I thought that was really strong. And it just had a really nice forward momentum with the story.
Right.
And again, I liked that this was a bad guy as a main character.
Yeah.
And just an unapologetic bad guy, too. Like not like a jerk with a heart of gold. Like, this is a straight-up asshole. Like, he is not
a
nice
psycho.
Person.
He's a total psycho.
I mean, he admits it, too, in as many words. I mean, he confesses that he hates people.
Yeah.
And it's like,
did you ever ask why I don't get along with people? It's probably because I don't like them.
Yeah, it's like that I thought was great, because I kept waiting for him to get his, so to speak, and that never happens.
Yeah.
He wins throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And that's something I really liked, because I thought that was really ballsy, to have a character like that never loses. It's just so rare these days.
Well, it happens sometimes, but yeah, it's great. I enjoyed it. And what sells it is Gyllenhaal's performance.
Oh yeah, he's terrific.
You go any other way with that, it doesn't work.
And his choice to lose the weight wasn't something that would have popped in my head, but upon seeing it, it definitely gives a little bit to the character that wouldn't have been otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a creepy, creepy man.
Yeah, he looks very, very odd. Like, I wouldn't want to hang out with that guy.
It makes me want to see his other movie that came out this year, Enemy.
Yeah, I was curious about that, because that was like another Amazon rental.
I don't know. That was like very indie. Didn't even come out.
No, yeah, but that's what I was kind of curious to see now, too.
Yeah, I hear it's interesting. It's very, very different, though.
Huh, okay.
It's out there. But I want to see it. And I'm glad to see Gyllenhaal. Like, now he's getting too method, though. Like, every time in an interview he talks about acting, you just want to smack him in the face.
Yeah, because now he's, like, putting all that weight for the boxing movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like, okay, shut up. You're not De Niro, shut up. That's like, stop it. Okay, just do your job and shut up. Don't be like, you know, it's really, really amazing. Give me the mindset.
Yeah, a little of that goes a long way for me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
actors should speak.
So, did you want to go over a little bit of your worst movies, or?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, cool.
Let's go to the bar and drink to the memory of Oprah Winfrey's credibility.
Terrific. Let's do that.
Fantastic.
Let's do it.